glad you have your Bibles tonight. If you would, take your Bible and Ephesians chapter number 5. We're going to look at 4 or 5 passages of Scripture tonight, and all of them work together. In other words, they're all sort of symbiotic passages. They talk about the same thing. That's our Christian walk. And so tonight I want to take just a minute and draw your attention to, again, a particular word in the text. Ephesians chapter 4, verse, if you would, number 14. Ephesians 5, verse number 14. Said it wrong. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. There's a purpose all of us have in life. And each one of us have a different purpose. Maybe your purpose is to be an IT person in a particular area of business that no other Christian can be in. And God wants to work in your life and let you shine in that area. Maybe you're in construction. Maybe you're in sales. Maybe you're in the medical profession. But God has Christians all over that we could know the will of God and we could be in the place where God wants us to be. Also that we could be a light where God calls us to be. 1780, a family came from Hungary and Austria to America. Now, they were not known, but they were very a brave group of people in this family. They began to try to do things that other people have never done. They became acrobats. Their names were the Wallendas, W-A-L-L-E-N-D-A. How many ever heard the name? The Wallendas. Well, in 1928, Ringling Brothers had them be a part of their circus, and they were their great performance, their initial performance that drew attention to worldwide fame was in Madison Square Garden. And they did a performance there, and the entire Madison Square Garden stood up and applauded them for 15 minutes and then sat down. They became known worldwide. They're a group of Christians. And then recently, Nick Wallenda walked across on a rope or wire across the Grand Canyon, 1,400 feet long, 1,500 feet below, above the Grand Canyon, in 30-mile-an-hour winds. And before he did it, he went across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. And when he was 6 years old, his parents took him to the Niagara Falls and he said, I'd like to walk a wire across to Niagara Falls, when he was 6 years old. If you heard or go back and listen as he's walking across the tight wire, the Grand Canyon, you hear him talking to the Lord. Lord, wind's pretty strong, would you help me now, give me grace. Lord, he's talking. He said at the end of it, I thank the Lord, my Lord Jesus Christ, for saving me and giving me the strength to do things. You don't know what the will of the Lord is, but every one of us has a purpose. But him walking across carefully and the wind blowing and him going down to catch his balance, 1,500 feet fall, and then getting back up, And you can see the wind blowing his wire. And he keeps right on going. The word akrobos is this word, circumspectly. It's for every Christian to walk that carefully in your Christian life. So now notice, if you would, verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, like an acrobat. That's the word. Original Greek word is akrobos. We don't have an English word to match it. So they brought it right over, transliterated it right over into English, acrobat. And so the Lord says to us, I want you to notice three things tonight. Simple message, but I hope that it helps you and I to where we can learn from this passage to be in the will of God, to make a difference in our life. Because, folks, you're here for a purpose, every one of us. During times of reflection, during times where we can get home and maybe eat dinner together, for a long time, every family in the 1700s, 1800s, everybody ate, you know, around the table together. It's just been recently, in the last 30, 40 years, where we've, 50 years, where we've gotten out and there's restaurants every place, and we go out to eat a lot, or we get take home and take it home a lot, or our schedules are so all over the place, and so dad's over here and mom's over here and the kids are here, and so we rarely get a chance to sit around the table and eat and talk. And this pandemic has allowed that. So I would ask you, the Walendas are in their seventh generation. Nick Walenda said, I'm a seventh generation Walenda. He said in 1978, my grandfather was walking between two hotels on a tight wire in Puerto Rico and fell to his death. But nothing has stopped the Walendas from continuing on to do what they love to do. It's quite unique. But as Christians, they felt like it's sort of the call of God to them. I would remind you today that all of us in this room have been called to God to do three things. Notice number one, in verse number 14, Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest. You'll notice that he says we're to wake up. It's easy to get put to sleep with life. Look in Romans, if you would, chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Notice, if you would, Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. The Lord is concerned about this. Romans 13, 11. Notice, if you would. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Speaking to Christians. He's not talking about it's 6:30 in the morning, you need to get up. He's talking about it's the day and age which we live. It's time to wake up spiritually and do the things that God wants us to do, needs us to do to make the difference He's called us to make. So He says, wake up. Now, one of the things that happens when you wake up, you get out of your sleep. You get out of your restful position. You get out of the position that gives you comfort. You have to wake up. How many of you would rather sleep than wake up? Don't raise your hand. But I can tell you this. When our alarm goes off in the morning, usually it's not, good morning, it's time to get up and go. I'm so excited about this morning. It's like, that's the reason they make snooze buttons on every one of those alarms there is. And it's 5 minutes snooze, 10 minutes snooze. Years ago, we had a lady in our church that she would hit the snooze button for an hour every 5 minutes. Just get up. Boop. Oh. Boop. Oh. She needed to read this passage. Wake up. Oh, wake up. Get up. Pay attention. A lot of Christians are hitting the snooze button. There's things they ought to be doing, but they're enjoying their restful sleep. Now, we need sleep. But this passage is talking, notice if you would, in Romans 13:11, he says, knowing that it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Our salvation, our calling home to heaven. Salvation, literally, whenever we leave this life and the Lord takes us to heaven. Now, if you're not saved this evening, if you don't know Christ as Savior, there's no salvation for you. You can be a good person, but you've got to put your faith and trust in Christ. And that's the reason that there's a cross in many churches, is because we kneel at the foot of the cross and say, Lord Jesus, will you save me and forgive me of my sin? If you've never come to a point in time when the Bible says you must be born again, Jesus said that. Those are his words. If you've never done that, you've never really awakened. You've never really gotten out of the sleep of life. Now, that's the first part of awake. But the second part of awake is this, is that you and I get lulled asleep by life itself. We get up in the morning. We don't have the thought of, I have something to do today for the Lord. Now, the first thing we would do is spend time with him. Get up in the morning. And I trust that every one of you have a devotional time set apart in your life that you wake up to spend some time with the Lord. And that would be in the morning time, in the afternoon time, all of us in this room. We all have to have a time to wake up and say, Lord, I want to spend some time with you. You wake up for a purpose. Lord, I want to talk with you. I want to spend time with you. Notice, if you would, the wording in Romans chapter 13, verse 11. He says, verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at its hand. So it's like, you know, all the past times are over with. Now it's getting to morning light, and there's something for us to do. You'll notice he says, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. So one of the things when we wake up to do is realize we live in the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. All of us in this room, we have to wake up to that fact. You have to wake up to the fact that the old devil is after you. Wake up. Pay attention. Now, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you have to do is wake up and say, okay, I got a list of things to do. I want to do. Most people just sort of get up and mosey through life. That's what he's saying to Christians. Wake up. So today, I would say to all of us in this room, let's wake up spiritually. God is trying to get our attention. He's trying to say something to us. Wake up. Did you know you can't talk to a person and have a good conversation if they're asleep? You can't make any progress. If you have your Bible, notice, turn back, if you would, to our original passage, Ephesians chapter 4. And notice with me, if you would, he says the same thing. Verse 14, Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore, he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Obviously, he's speaking about wake up in salvation, but wake up spiritually. Then notice, understand, number one is wake up. Number two is watch out. Look what he says in verse number 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. See then. Now, see then is in the imperative mood, so he points his finger at us and he says, hey, you watch out. Wake up and watch out. If you're asleep and you hear a breaking of a window, the first thing you're going to do is wake up. You're going to try to figure out what's going on. And then he says, I want you to watch out. I want you to look for the enemy. Watch out for the old devil. Watch out for him. He's coming after you. If you have your Bible, look, if you would, 1 Peter chapter 5. Notice with me, if you would, 1 Peter chapter 5. Turn with me, if you would, 1 Peter chapter 5. And notice, if you would, in verse number 8. 1 Peter 5:8. Notice, be sober, be vigilant. This is that word. Be alive, be awake, watch out, be vigilant. Get your head on a swivel, keep up looking. Notice what he says, because your adversary, the devil. Everybody in this room has got somebody against us, an adversary. Somebody that wants to destroy us. And that's the old devil. He says to us in verse number 8, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The old devil's trying to destroy Christians. He's trying to destroy us in this room. Now, when we say destroy, how? Ruin your testimony. Notice what he says. He says in verse number 9, whom resist steadfast. In other words, you have to watch out and you have to be willing to say no. Now, take with me, if you would, the scriptures and turn back, if you would, to Romans chapter 13 and notice with me in verse number 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. What are the works of darkness? Lustfulness, lying, dishonesty, a lack of integrity, a poor spirit, a bad attitude. There are a lot of people that ruin their homes because they have a bad attitude. And there are people that ruin their homes because they're moody. They're good one day, terrible the next day, or somewhere in between. And you never know what's going to come down the pike. And so he says, look, put off the works of darkness. Those are things of darkness. Christians are to be peaceable. They're to be peacemakers. They're to be agreeable. They're to be the kind of people that look for ways to make peace, not for ways to make trouble. That's the way of the world. And so he says, wake up and watch out. The old devil's trying to ruin your testimony by making you disagreeable. There are people that have been in our church that basically could not continue going on a mission trip because they would get on the mission trip and be so disagreeable that it just made everything miserable. And the missionary would be difficult for the missionary, be difficult for the guys. And finally, they just said, well, I'm not going to be able to go on any more mission trips. Christians, watch out. Open your eyes. Imperative mood is like he'd punch his finger and say, you watch out. It's coming. The old devil is after you. You have to have a willingness. Watch out, but you have to have a willingness to say no. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, whom resist steadfastly. You make up your mind that there's a willingness in your heart to say no to the things of this world. No to bitterness. No to lustfulness. No to pornography. No to homosexuality. No to fornication, adultery. No to filthiness on the internet. No, a willingness to resist, to say no. Because Satan is coming after you. He's willing to say, here, why don't you try this? Drugs, why don't you try this? And you have to have a willingness. You have to have this resistance in your heart, this determination. Watch out, it's coming. Make up your mind in advance. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to Romans. I want you to see this. Romans chapter 12. Just one chapter over. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. Romans chapter 12. And you'll notice verse number 2. And I want to draw your attention to this word here, where he says, be not conformed to this world. You'll notice with me, if you would, he says, I want you to be careful that you don't agree with the world. The word conformed is literally a word that describes an agreement with the world systems. It's a sus schematizo. The world has a schematic that it's coming, that Satan has laid out, and he's coming after you with a scheme, with a plan. The reason Bill Belichick has won 6 Super Bowls is because he's great at scheming against the offense to take away their thing they like to do the most. If you like to run the football, he's going to take away that first. If you like to throw the football, he's going to take away that first and let you beat him with the things you're weakest at. And if you can do that, great. And he's won 6 times because of it. So he's got a scheme. They call him a great coach. Well, Satan's got a scheme, and he got Samson, and he got, you name the list of people he's gone through and gotten. He's gotten Jonah because of his bitterness. He's gotten Samson because of his lustfulness. He's gotten Saul because of his pride. You just go down the list. He comes up with a scheme, and it's the same scheme. It's not a new one. Just which one will work on you? So notice Romans chapter 12 says this, and be not conformed to this world. Don't be in agreement with the scheme of the world, because the world's got a scheme. It's to make you like them. It's to prevent you from being a great testimony. Notice with me, if you would, go back to Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 5. And notice with me, if you would, in verse 15. Now, the first one the first W we have is to wake up. The second W is to watch out. Okay? The third W is to walk circumspectly. Now we get into this word acrobat. Okay? It's an acrobatic walk. It's a careful, meticulous walk. Now watch this. See then, yet you walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but you'll notice he says that you would walk not as fools, but as wise. Now notice, redeeming the time because the days are evil. There's all kinds of stuff going on around us, and they're evil days. You'll notice in verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise. It would take just a minute, and you'll notice that we have to watch out for the old devil, and we have to walk circumspectly. When you're walking circumspectly, you walk carefully. Before you get on the tightrope, before you get up in the morning, you prepare for the day. You yield to the Holy Spirit. You ask for His strength. Nick Walenda went out and they strung the wire. It cost $1.2 million to set up the wire and do all the preparation for him to cross across the Niagara Falls. I never got the number for the one going over the Grand Canyon. But he spent $1.2 million to set up, to make sure that the wire was tight enough, it didn't have too much sag, he didn't start sliding when he got on it, that the wire was tight enough that it didn't blow the wind and blow him off. He checked to make sure that the wind was not too great, or that the wind was a steady wind. It didn't blow and stop, which he couldn't handle. And so at the Grand Canyon, the wind was a steady 30 miles an hour. You could hear it whipping all the time. But it was steady through there. He could plan on that. I know what I've got to work with. A 30-mile-an-hour wind, so I leaned a little bit to the right. He was acrobatic in his walk, but he knew what the difficulties were. In order to walk circumspectly, you have to know what the difficulties are. You have to know what things that are in life. So we have to, number one, learn to study. Study what's right. If you have your Bible, turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And notice this, 2 Timothy chapter 2. We have to learn to walk according to right. And you'll notice, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And so the idea is rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you want to take God's word and use it properly? Then you learn to study so that you can take God's word and use it in your daily life. Now, when Susan went to heaven, she was a great cook and she loved to cook. And so she had a drawer full of paraphernalia that you cook with. How many of you ladies got one of those? I mean, you got all kinds of stuff in there. I mean, I noticed this one thing's got a handle on it, and it's got a wheel on it, it's real sharp, and you roll it back and forth. Does anybody know what that is? Pizza cutter, okay? And so you get that, and you just roll it back and forth. Yeah, it's a pizza cutter, okay? And then she had one thing that was it was kind of spiral, had about six or eight things on it, and it had like this, and you'd mash potatoes. I said, wow, cooking's tough. You got to know all the gadgets to do it with. Then she had another thing. It had a little slit in it, and you can take it, and I found that it's for peeling potatoes and just peels them real quick. But the coolest one that she's got, and the only one really I've used, is the apple slicer. Now, that's cool. How many of you know what that one is? Okay. And she's got one that's got two handles on it, and it's circular, and it's got a little, these real sharp blades in it. It's got about eight of them, and you take and put an apple on the tabletop, and you take that thing and put it up in, and apple just parts like the Red Sea. That's cool. So when I want an apple, I don't have to get my, it doesn't take 10 minutes to get the knife out, and you start cutting it off. And so you take that apple slicer, put it over there, and man, you're ready to go. I said, that is the coolest thing since sliced bread. I was just so excited about it. But then there's this whole drawer full of stuff. What is that for? This book is filled with tools, principles to help you battle Satan. And you might say, well, what is this verse for? Bring in every thought captive the obedience of Christ. What's he saying there? The thoughts of man are sin. Proverbs 22:4. Our thoughts are sinful. And so we need to learn to take those thoughts and bring them to Christ and say, Lord, I want them not to be sinful, but to be right. So we learn to battle by using Scripture. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He said, study to show thyself approved. So when you have a weakness, when you have, and everybody in this room's got one, and Satan's looking to find your weakness, maybe it's covetousness, maybe it's a foul mouth, maybe it's an angry temper. We've all got a weakness, and so the old devil's looking for it. When he finds it, he says, okay, now I'm going to attack right there. And our job as a Christian is to study God's Word, because as we're walking in life, we're trying to be very careful not to give trouble to people watching, where they won't want Jesus Christ. So the old devil wants us to slip up and fall and say, see there, the Christian life is not for me. So as we walk acrobatically, we have to learn to say, Lord, I want my thoughts to be right. I want my steps to be right. So we take our weaknesses. We notice them. We memorize Scripture so that when the weakness comes up, we quote what the Lord says. I can remember playing ball down the street when I was a little boy. And my mom would always say to me, okay, now David, you be home at 6 o'clock. We're going to eat dinner. Don't be late. I didn't have a watch. And so I learned to be very careful and just kind of time it in my head. And so I had about an hour to go play ball, and I go down the street and play ball, and I'd be about 45 minutes, and I'd start feeling like, you know, it's probably getting close, or 50 minutes, getting close. Anybody got a watch? And you know, somebody would say, well, I go in and check, and they go check in the kitchen, and it's 10 to 6. I got 10 more minutes. And so I kind of learned, but in my mind, the back of my head, my mom was saying, don't be late. 6 o'clock. Christians need to wake up, watch out, and remember what the Father says. Don't lust. Don't covet. Don't get bitter. Bitterness is in the heart of fools. Walk carefully, not as fools. There's 5 different words for fools in the Scriptures. One of them is moros. We've got an English word, moronic, a moron. It literally is someone whose mind maybe works at a 3-year-old level, but they're an adult. Not their fault. It's just the way the Lord made them. And the Lord has a purpose. Just like the Lord made in John chapter 9, the blind man, he made him and he couldn't see for the glory of God, the Bible says. So the word moron is unwise, but it's not being able to think clearly. Now, there's nobody in this room that I know of that's like that. If we're unwise, it's because we have not learned the methods of Satan. We have not learned the protections of God from Scripture. We're unwise in the tools of battle. We can't take the spiritual drawer and open it up and say, oh, there's an apple slicer. That's to protect me for this. That's to help me for this. This is to help me for that. And so as a result, the old devil tripped us up. Now, we don't have a 1,500-foot fall to our death, but we lose our testimony in the eyes of our boss. We lose our testimony in the eyes of our wife, our husband, or brother, or sister. And they no longer want to be like us, and so the generations fail. If Christianity is so wonderful, it ought to be that we ought to have seven generations of Pittman, and all of us want us to say, I want to please the Lord. My grandfather did, my great-grandfather did, my great-great-grandfather did. Isn't Jesus worth that? Sure he is. So why are our children, many times, going off into the world like Demas? Wake up. Watch out. We haven't taught our children an awareness. I told you that 3 years ago I got to go on safari in Africa. You know that. And there were three guides on the trip. There's another family there, and they had two of the guides working for them. They go on a trip every 2 years. They save up their money. And a husband and wife team, they save up their money and they spend between $30,000 and $50,000, and that's their vacation. And they hunt everything on earth. That's just what they do. And so the two guys were taking them, and I saw them that they got this huge giraffe, and they're fixing to go on an elephant hunt, and that's $25,000 for an elephant hunt. And so they'll find an aged elephant that needs to be culled or whatever. So anyway, long story short, there's this one guy that was a guide, and it was funny, a lot of fun. And he would make fun. And so when I'd make a shot and not hit the animal right where it's supposed to be, he'd make fun of me. And so we'd laugh. He was very well prepared. Been a guide for 20 years. But over time, if we're not careful, and a lot of Christians get lax after 10 years of serving the Lord, 15 years. 30 years, rather than getting better every year, we fall asleep. We lose our attention span, our constant vigilance. Be vigilant, be sober, be vigilant, always aware of the enemy. You get up in the morning, bing, Satan's around. Where is he today? Be aware, be vigilant. Same imperative mood. You be aware. You pay attention. He's coming after you. And so we get lulled to sleep over 10, 15, 20 years, and we're no longer the same powerful, effective Christian that God wants us to be. And so we don't make the same impact on our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren like the Walendas did. At 6 years old, I cannot imagine. I want to tell you this. At 6 years old, I had no desire to walk on a wire across the Niagara Falls. I promise you that. Never even came into my mind. But in his mind, wow, Granddad did it. Now, Granddad died doing it, but what can I do to make it better? Maybe my father made some mistakes spiritually, and how can I improve on that? How can I change that? How many of you would like to improve on somebody before you? Improve on their walk. You're not making a comment about them, but you want to learn from the mistakes of others. Do you know what the difference between experience and wisdom is? Experience is you learn the hard way. I can do it, and you can't. You learn from your mistakes, and then you can do it the second time. Wisdom is I'll watch you make the mistake, and I'll learn from it. God says, if any man lack wisdom, I'll give it to you. You don't have to make the foolish mistakes. That's the reason. Now look, if you would, notice, if you would, in Ephesians, look in verse, in Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 5, notice what he says in verse number 15, see then you walk circumspectly, walk carefully like an acrobat, not as fools, not as one that doesn't pay attention to the things around him, to the old devil's attack, to the commands of God, to what God wants you to do. You got to study if you want to do what's right. You have to know what God's Word says. There are so many Christians that don't know the Word of God well enough to know what God wants them to do. Or they know what God wants them to do and they're not willing to do it. They don't work hard to learn and they're not willing to do what they have learned. Both of those are a part of an acrobatic walk. Working to learn, the wind's 30 miles an hour, the wires pulled at so much tension, it's so far, how good a shape do I need to be to go 1,400 feet, how long will it take me, all the different calculations, but you have to be willing to say, I'll do it. You'll notice he says, not as fools, but as wise. And then he repeats it in verse number 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. You know, all of us in this room have to decide if we want to have an acrobatic walk, a careful walk that does something great for the Lord. And when I say something great, it's a testimony that your family says, I want to be like that. Nick Willenda's grandfather died in 1978. Simple mistake on the high wire. He said, I'm going to learn from that. I'm not going to make that mistake. But I love what he's doing. You know, I've learned from people in my family. Be careful of the opposite sex. The record in my family for marriages is 9. One lady, 9 marriages. Many of my family have been married 2 times, 3 times. I said, you know, Lord, I don't want to make that mistake. So I can be unwise, or I can be wise. I can be experienced, or I can be wise. Which are you? Are you learning from those before you? And he says, look, I want to do the right things. Okay? I see someone that avoids sin, someone that's clean. I see a Daniel. I say, oh Lord, I want to be like Daniel with all my heart. Then study, Pittman. Work hard. Study God's Word. Know what I say. So whenever the old devil comes up, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. God said, don't do that. God said, I need to do that. Ezekiel 33, he says, if you cease to warn the wicked, he calls us a watchman. Everybody in this room. He said, oh, watchman, if you cease to warn the wicked from his wicked way, the wicked shall die in his sin, but his blood will I hold at your hand, your account. I'll hold you accountable. I don't know what that means. I don't know of any preacher that can tell you what Ephesians, Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 33, but he repeats it twice. That what it means to be accountable for the souls of men. It also says it in Proverbs. But God says you're accountable for the souls of men. One of your goals in life is to try to tell people about Christ. Now, we're not responsible to make sure they get saved, but we're responsible to tell them lovingly that Jesus loves them. They don't have to die and go to hell, but they can have Jesus as their Savior and have a home in heaven. And he said, you're a watchman. If you don't do what God's called you to do, then that man will die in his sin. He'll see your non-acrobatic walk. I just want to do what I want to do. Either not knowing the way you should talk, the way you should dress, the way you should think, the way you should use your eyes. Do you understand? There's a standard in heaven for all of us about all those things. Now, the Bible doesn't say anything about computers in Scripture, but I can guarantee he says things about the eyes, and it doesn't matter if you're looking at a TV or a computer, or you're looking at a book, or you're looking at a woman. David, on a rooftop, sees Bathsheba. David, sitting in front of his computer, sees a woman pop up. Same principle. Watch out. Pay attention. Don't make the same mistakes your father, grandfather, great-grandfather did. Be an example. Make an eternal difference. And what I want to challenge you tonight is wake up, watch out, and walk circumspectly, carefully. So that when you get close to the end of your life, you look back and say, I tried to give you the right steps. Got people in my family that filed bankruptcy twice. I didn't know how you do it once, let alone twice. You had practice to do that, I think. All I'm saying to you is this. It happens. Do you understand? The Lord wants us to learn from our mistakes. I can learn by watching you. I can learn from the scars of my mistakes. I can learn from the words of Scripture. Study to show thyself approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You know what the word ashamed there is? It is the word for disfigured. Something that cannot be fixed in this life. You can make some mistakes that disfigure you spiritually in this life. It's over. You can go on and do some things differently, but everybody will always see it. If you have your Bible, turn if you would to Ezekiel. We'll close. Notice with me, if you would, Ezekiel 33. All of us in this room have priorities in your life. I have one of my priorities is to pay all my bills. How many of you know what a FICO score is? How many know what a FICO score is? Raise your hand. Let me see it. Okay. How many of you know what a credit score is? Raise your hand. Okay. I look at my FICO score, my credit score, every month, usually 6-8 times a month. The reason is to make sure no one goes out and borrows something on my name. And my FICO score goes like this. We had a family in our church, and he came out and said, Pastor, said, pray for us. What's wrong? He said, somebody using my information bought a plane. I said, what? He said, yeah. I don't have a plane. Look at my backyard. Look at my garage. I don't have a plane, but I'm trying to tell them it's not me. It took them months and months and months to get them to realize he didn't buy the plane. So in my mind, I get up in the morning, wake up, check your FICO score. Okay, look, I checked it. I didn't buy a plane yesterday, so I check it. Now, look, I want to do well financially. I just want to be wise. So I can watch other people that mess up, and I can learn what the Scripture says. Owe thou owe no man anything, lest he come and take your bed up from underneath you. If you have your bed mortgage, you go buy it on credit, they can come take it away from you. Same thing with your car. In the Old Testament, they could do it with your children. If you didn't pay your bill, they just come get your firstborn. Now it won't stop credit failures because it didn't in the Old Testament. But it sure would cause me, well, I don't know, maybe with Jeremy, my firstborn, I don't know, might be able to go buy something really nice. And they came, got Jeremy, and said, oh, too bad, bye, son. You know, I see him going off paying for it. No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. But again, my point to you is this. I want to do right financially, but I want to do right far more than that in my heart before the Lord. I want my walk to be right. I want to be a man of integrity. What he says is what he does. I want to be a man of truthfulness. I want to be a man of honesty. I want to be a man of purity, holiness. I want to be a man of godliness. All those ingredients I can see in certain people in this room and say, I want to be like him in that area. I want to be like her in that area. I want to be like that person in that area. And I see effort. I see a diligence. I see a willingness to work. I say, I want to be like that. I see a spirit, a pleasant spirit. So like Daniel said, I want to have her spirit. I want to have his spirit. So I'm always watching, trying to learn to be more like Christ by watching you. Walk circumspectly. But one of the things that I notice is this. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 7. So thou, O son of man, I set thee a watchman under the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth. So if you're going to be a watchman, all of us are watchmen. He says, I hear the word at my mouth. So it's our responsibility to know the word of God. You can't hide from it. That's where you said, study to show thyself approved. You study. Imperative mood, you study. You can say, well, you know, I'm tired. You know, I don't want to wake up this morning. And so you don't have to study, but you'll pay for it. Or somebody will. Notice in this case, therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. So you and I are to be watchmen for the souls of people. We're to be watching out for people, watching out for what they see. Lord, help me to do what's right. That's the reason teenagers in a youth section or sitting side by side shouldn't be passing notes and writing notes. Not because we've got a list of rules in church and you walk back here, here's the rules right here. Thou shalt not pass notes in church. Thou shalt not talk in church. We don't do that. But if you look in Scripture and it says, wake up. Watch out. There are certain things all of us have to do. But we have to be taught that. Little children don't know that. You know, little children, you see them. This is sort of a holy place here. So we want it to be holy. So we have to teach children the respect for the house of God. But God is not here. He's here. But this is his house. So we teach them a respect for God's house. You have to do that. I have to do that. And I have to teach you that the souls of men are in our care. Every one of you. You have people near you that God says, Micah, you're responsible for. Sam, you're responsible for. Joshua, you're responsible for. Nathan, you're responsible for. That I cannot touch. I've set to be a watchman. And I've set you to warn them from me. You're God's personal representative. Keep reading. Verse 8. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will require thine hand. I don't know what that means. I tell you what I think it means. I think it means that the great white throne judgment, when all the sinners are in a line in front of the great white throne, and we as God's children are behind it someplace, because the Bible says, absent the body is present with the Lord. Wherever the Lord is, we're going to be. And he's the judge sitting on the throne. And he's judging the people that rejected Christ as Savior. Now, you can reject Christ as Savior many ways. You can reject without even caring. You never woke up. You can reject without not watching, not wanting to know the truth. You can reject by just getting busy with life and saying, oh, religion is not important to me. I don't get involved in religion and die and go to hell. Or you can say, you know, I'm interested in knowing the Lord and Savior. And everybody that says I'm interested in knowing the Lord and Savior, God sends somebody to them. And God even sends people to people that don't care a lot of times. Because he loves them. And that person is you and me. Can you imagine a neighbor that we've never invited to church? Their name called in front of the great white throne judgment. And they say, but Father, you know, no one ever invited me to church. No one ever tried to tell me about the Lord, and all of a sudden he looked up and he sees us behind Christ. He says, "Hey, there's my neighbor. Why didn't you tell me?" Their blood be required at thine hand. Did you know the Bible says God's got to wipe away all the tears from our eyes? That's one of the last things he does. That's one chapter after the great white throne judgment. God has to wipe away tears from our eyes. That's what I think it means. He says, don't go to sleep. Watch out. There are people in your path every day. Oh, we can't tell everybody you're going to die and go to hell. You can't do that. But you can invite people to church and tell them I'm praying for you. And you can invite people this week. I met somebody that I know is not saved, but I said, "Look, hey, it's great to see you. I'd love to invite you to church." I was at the store the other day, yesterday, and I was talking to somebody, and I said, "Hey, I'd love to have you come to church." And he says, "Oh, I'm Jewish. I don't go to church." I said, "Well, look, if I'm going to buy this from you, would you come?" Yeah, I'll come. He said, "My wife's Catholic. I'll bring her." I said, "I'd love to have you come." Now, I've never met that man before, but God placed him in my path. And I'm a watchman. I just fear how many times I wasn't paying attention. I was asleep. Tonight, don't be asleep on sinners. And don't be asleep on your acrobatic walk. Be careful. Because he is worth it. Let's pray tonight. I'm going to ask that pianist play a verse of invitation hymn, and page 366, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." And maybe the Lord's touched your heart. Maybe you need to trust Christ as Savior. If you'd come, I'll help you get that settled. Maybe you're here tonight. You've never been saved. You'd like to be. Come to me. I'll help you with it. Maybe you're here. You're not a part of our church. You'd like to be a part of our church. Come to me. Maybe you're here tonight and you just need to come to this altar and say, "Lord, it's me. I haven't walked very carefully this week, but I want to. I want to pick up my game. I haven't been very watchful for sinners or watchful of my steps. But I want to change that." Or maybe you've tried and you said, "Lord, just help me keep doing what's right. Lord, help me to be faithful. Many steps over a long period of time equals faithfulness. Lord, don't let me fail. Help me to be faithful." Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. In your name we pray. Amen.